Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
What's up, everybody? Yo, so I wanted to make this video real quick. There's a lot of talk right now about the wall, funding, the price tag of the wall, the $5 billion, versus the $25 billion that the president had initially requested. Some people on both sides of the aisle think that $5 billion is just too much money for this wall. But here's why it's completely ridiculous. Now, I'm not trying to just get into this from a standpoint of funding for the wall, but I want you to have an idea on where money goes that's funded by this government. So I got a little bit of list together here.
So that's Adrian Norman on his Facebook page. And going into a lot of the things that the government wants to spend money on or is willing to spend money on knowingly, but $5 billion sounds like a lot of money to me. I will never know that amount of money. But that is a hill too steep to climb for the Democrats, who are unwilling to come to the table. So I watched this video, and I love this video. And I asked Adrian to come on the show with us today, and he did, which is fantastic. Adrian, thanks for giving us some time today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So Adrian is a contributor at The Federalist and at The Daily Caller, among other places. And you are watching all of this very carefully. When you started looking at some of the things that our government knowingly spends money on to very large degrees, how do you react to that compared to this fight over the $5 billion for this wall?
Oh, it's absolutely mind-boggling when you start getting into the numbers. I mean, everybody's is complaining about the price tag of this border wall, and it's Republicans and Democrats in some cases. But, you know, when we're looking at this sum of $5 billion, we waste money on so many other things. This can't be a legitimate argument.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff that you listed off there, tell me about the Chinese prostitutes one. That was maybe my strangely favorite one. It was something about helping them in their work environment or something.
Yeah, it was more than $2 million we allocated to help Chinese prostitutes with to drink less on the job.
I don't know if I'd want to drink less on the job. I mean, it's just really absolutely crazy to listen to these Democrats. I want to play this. This is a clip from President Obama.
The bill before us will certainly do some good. It will authorize some badly needed funding for better fences and better security along our borders. And that should help stem some of the tide of illegal immigration in this country.
We can listen to Chuck Schumer and clips from Hillary Clinton and Dianne Feinstein and on and on and on of people who supported this. The only thing that's changed is President Trump is now the president. I mean, how do we get on with ourselves while the government is shut down when we are so far apart from one another?
You know, that's a really good question to ask. And I think we have to kind of keep in mind that what I think the Democrats are doing right now is they're in an intense game of political chicken, and they're doing it at the expense of Americans who just want to go to work and get paid and do their job efficiently. They're calling it the Trump shutdown as a political move. And yes, the president did go on record about a month ago saying he would, if he had to, take responsibility for it. But Democrats are saying that they won't fund the border wall, despite the fact that last year they voted for a $25 billion border security package. Back in 2013, they supported a $42 billion security package that had $8 billion specifically allocated for a border wall. Mm-hmm. So they're being complete hypocrites on this issue, and the only people who are suffering are actually hardworking Americans.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Adrian Norman, who is a political commentator and a contributor to a lot of the places that I know you read a lot, Federalist, Daily Caller, West Journalism, and so forth. And you can follow him on Twitter at @MAdrianNorman. You know, I think it's really curious watching the reaction to the shutdown and everybody's investment, at least that I see on my TV screen, is who's going to be the one left without the chair when the music stops? Who's going to hold the bag for the blame of this government shutdown? And it's like I can flip on the channel, see the talking head, and know who they're going to blame before they even say a word. What's your opinion on that? Where does this government shutdown, depending on how long it lasts, who ends up holding the bag for this?
That's an interesting question. I think that's kind of what people keep asking right now. And I think it depends on who you ask. Obviously, if you turn on CNN or turn on MSNBC, you're going to hear blame placed in different circles than you would if you're looking at Fox News or reading Breitbart. So at the end of the day, you know, Trump has already put packages on the table for comprehensive border security. Trump has already put packages on the table that would protect DACA recipients. He offered to protect twice as many DACA recipients as the Democrats even offered in the spring of 2018, and they turned it down. The bottom line is that the Democrats right now are getting a little taste of power because they just got the House back, and they don't want the president to have another political win because he just came off of two phenomenal years of his presidency in his first term. The Heritage Foundation found that in his first year alone, he completed 64% of his agenda. Last year, you know, he did leaps and bounds better than any of his last predecessors in probably the last 40 years. So giving him a border wall definitely secures a 2020 win for the president and just makes them look bad. And I think at the end of the day, that's ultimately what this is about.
I agree. It is. There's 2020 is on the line for a lot of people as they react to this. Another thing that we hear from all of those people who are weighing in on this issue while they are campaigning for their presidential bid is the phrase manufactured crisis. We keep hearing the word manufactured. This idea that the problem that the wall is supposed to be solving, at least the way this president presents it, isn't in fact a crisis or even a problem at all. Yet we hear within the last half of a decade, a lot of these same people agreeing to the fact that there's something that needs to be done. We need stronger border security. There are issues. In the president's address that he gave from the Oval Office earlier this week, he talked about right off the top about how this immigration crisis we're facing hurts Black Americans the most. And a lot of people have been pushing back on that issue as well. What's your reaction to that statement and him really truly prioritizing that in his speech?
Well, it's absolutely true. And all you have to do is go to the inner cities and ask anybody. There's a friend of mine, he's from the LA area, and he's actually a business owner. And he was telling me, you know, back when he lived in LA a number of years ago, there were a lot of people in inner cities who were working for maybe $7-$8 an hour. And when they got waves of illegal immigrants coming into Crenshaw, coming into, you know, really what are hood type areas, it displaced these workers who are already working for low pay because illegals would do those $8 an hour jobs under the table for $4 an hour. Mm. So what it does is it prices Black labor out of the marketplace to where people who need opportunities, people who need those jobs, not only are getting low pay, but they're getting no pay at all because they're completely unemployed.
Yeah.
So it has a real impact in the Black community, and it's something that definitely needs to be addressed.
We're speaking with Adrian Norman. And Adrian, what is, how do you reconcile what you just said? I mean, you're not like reading that and regurgitating that. You know people, you understand the reality of the situation. Anybody could tell you that's manufactured or fake, and you'd be like, whatever you want to believe, I know this to be true based on personal experience. How do you react to listening to the left grandstand even on the issue of both a manufactured crisis when it comes to immigration, pretending that this is a fake crisis, but also kind of owning and appropriating the idea that the Democrats are the party of these African-American communities, that they are the ones that you need to vote for and you need to support if you want to be properly looked after by government? How do they get to be both of those things if what you just said is true?
Well, the answer is they don't. I mean, they grandstand on a lot of things right now because they're the party of virtue signaling and making everybody else feel that somehow they're morally superior to you. This is not a manufactured crisis. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been pushing border security packages as early as 2006 when people like Hillary Clinton, Dianne Feinstein, I believe, Chuck Schumer, all voted for the Secure Fence Act.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been pushing these type of policies for years. It only became an issue once President Trump was in the White House. Now, as far as, do I have time to address your last point as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So as far as the last point, you know, the Democrats have done a really good job at convincing Black people that they're the only game in town. But when we look at the numbers from, let's say, even the early 1900s to now, there are a lot of areas in which, as Blacks have increased in political power throughout the United States, the conditions in our communities have actually gotten worse. Oh. So if they're actually looking out for our interests, if they're supposed to be representing our communities, why are our communities worse off from having them as our leaders? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So it's time that our communities make a change. Albert Einstein said you can't solve problems with the same level of thinking that created them. So they've created this culture of victimhood, and it's almost like a Stockholm Syndrome effect where we keep electing and supporting the very people who are responsible for the oppression that we're seeing in our communities.
Do you think under President Trump that there is any different understanding of what you just described than there was under President Obama or before?
I think there's starting to be a shift. When President Bush left office, there was something like 70% of the country thought race relations were on a good path. At the end of Obama's tenure, that number had dropped 12 points. So President Obama was a very racially divisive president. He's actually a large part of the reason we got President Trump to begin with. When President Trump took office, he only had about 8% support from the black community. But as of, I think, last fall, around August or September, Rasmussen reported that black support for the president was up to 40%. So I think people are starting to wake up. People are starting to see the failures of the Democratic Party in terms of how cities that they've run, cities like Chicago, Baltimore, L.A., cities that have been dominated by Democrats for decades, have gotten worse under their leadership. They've taken a black vote for granted. It's just axiomatic that we're going to vote Democrat, and they know we're going to get nothing in return, but we're going to keep voting for them. So it's time to make a change, and I think people are starting to wake up to that fact, and they're going to demand change, and if policies don't change from our elected officials, we're going to see people with a different jobs come 2020.
I couldn't agree more. Adrian Norman, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I look forward to talking to you again on all of these issues as they continue to unfold. I'd encourage people to go to Twitter and follow Adrian at @MAdrianNorman and also follow him on Facebook. Adrian, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.